Hey guys and girls, I hope you are well. And today I wanted to do a podcast on what makes a good athlete. And as always, I see many, many posts about what makes a good coach and the good traits and the bad traits of good coaches and so on and so forth. But very, very rarely do I see anything about what makes a good athlete. And I think it's something that is maybe missing from the marketplace, and maybe something that people are not willing to discuss, or people like coaches are scared to say because they might think it will, I don't know, not get them business or so on and so forth. But you know, I've been in the industry long enough now to see many, many fantastic athletes and work with many fantastic athletes, and in the same breath work with many people who are not as good or not as adherent. And I'm not talking about genetics here. I'm talking about solely effort, care, the want to win, the willingness to put the effort in, and so on and so forth. So, like I said, I see many, many posts about, you know, this is a good coach and this is why they're a good coach. But I want to do a story or a podcast today on what actually makes a good athlete. And as I said, I want to take away the genetic part and remove the fact that genetics are involved in bodybuilding. I want to just solely look at you as a person and the effort that you put in. So first and foremost, obviously, what makes a good athlete? One of the things that make a good athlete is actually putting in the work, doing the fucking hard work. And I'm not just like, I know that's very, very blasé and cliche to say, you know, you've got to work hard. But what I'm talking about is the days where it is hard and days where it does suck, you carry on giving 110%. Because I see this so many times. On the days it is hard, people drop off and they give 80%. They knock down the level and the intensity on the cardio. When they're going into the gym, they're a bit like, oh, fuck's sake. And they're not going in with real intensity in the gym. And that is the first and foremost thing that's going to help you be successful in the sport of bodybuilding. Is the days when it is really fucking hard, you pull your socks up and you say, this is still fucking easy for me. I'm still going to smash this. I'm still going to give it my all. I'm not going to drop the intensity level. I'm still going to have good energy in the gym. I'm still going to go in there with purpose and be strong and attack my sets. And I'm going to go in the cardio and smash my cardio, and I'm going to knock my steps out the park. And then you say, you know what? Even that was a hard day, I fucking smashed it. I honestly don't think that a lot of people can do that. I think that that's a very, very small percentage of people that can actually look themselves in the mirror at the end of a hard day and say, I've gone above and beyond there. I've not just let that hard day beat me. I've not dropped down the intensity. I've gone in, I've smashed my gym session. I've still been positive in my approach and everything like that. I think a very, very small percentage of people can do that. And when you are going with extreme levels of sport, like extreme levels of body fat that you have to achieve in bodybuilding, you're gonna have like a handful, two handfuls, three handfuls of shit days, of days that are really fucking hard that you have to pull your socks up and say, I'm gonna beat this, I'm gonna smash it. It's not hard enough for me. I want more, bring more at me. But again, I don't see that happen in, honestly, like at least 50% of athletes. At least 50% of athletes on those hard days drop their intensity, ease off the cardio, barely scrape their step count, barely scrape through their session. Maybe they actually fucking say, oh, I'm just gonna have rest day. And sometimes that is necessary, but if you did that every single day that you felt like weak, you probably wouldn't end up finishing your prep, or you'd end up finishing it and look subpar. So honestly, those hard days are point one, okay? You have to absolutely come at those hard days and say, listen, this ain't fucking hard enough. Give it more. Show me more. What else have you got? And absolutely destroy those days. That's point one. Point two is doing what the coach actually says. And again, I've seen this many, many times over the years. And a prime example was a couple of years ago, somebody was at the back end of prep. I give them 45 minutes fasted cardio every single day. At the end of prep, they said, oh, well, actually, I was only doing half an hour fasting and 15 minutes post-workout. But that's not what I've given you. Yeah, you're doing the 45 minutes, and there'll be people that argue, well, you're doing the 45 minutes, so surely that matters. Well, no, it doesn't matter, because that's setting a precedent for you doing your own thing. If you don't know what a precedent means, it means sort of just going off on your own and doing whatever you want, and then like that just carries on through every single action that you do. That's what precedent means. So it sets a precedent in saying, you know what, I'm just going to do what I want. That's not good enough. Okay, that's not good enough if you truly trust your coach. If you truly trust your coach and your coach says to you, do this, this, and this, and if, for example, you are unsure and you ask them, hey, what's the purpose of this, and they give you an answer, you've got to fucking do it 100%. If you're doing your own thing, whether it comes to training, diet, cardio, steps. If you start to do your own thing, you've already started to lose. You're already starting on that path that's not going to give you the best result. Because one thing a coach might do is say, right, actually, now I do want you to do post-workout cardio. And you're like, shit, I've already been doing 15 minutes rather than doing my 45 fasted. Or the coach says, right, I do want you to push on now. And you've already been doing more cardio. You've not done enough. Whatever it might be, okay, you have to do what the coach says and you have to commit 100% to that. And you have to believe that what you're doing is also correct and right. And again, this is why it comes down to having the right coach as well, which is a point I'm going to get onto later. But you have to do what that coach asks of you 110%, because as soon as you start to deviate from that, you're on a downward spiral, okay? You set a precedent, and when, for example, the coach says to you, hey, I want you to now do X and Y, you're like, oh, fuck that, I'm already not doing what he says anyway, so I'll do fucking something else. So you will set a precedent for going on a downward spiral. So if that coach says to you, I want you to do something, and they explain to you why, then you have to fucking commit to that 110%. No questions asked, get on with it, and start pushing towards that goal. Another thing that I see the best athletes do, and I see sometimes people who don't do particularly well don't do, is visualizing the win. I think this is hugely powerful, hugely, hugely powerful. And it's not tangible. Like, you can't say, well, winners do it and people who don't win don't do it. You can't do that at all. But visualizing that win, visualizing when you're on a Stairmaster, thinking about you getting your first place trophy, okay? I always tell athletes, you're going on to win. You're not going there to take part, okay? You're going there to fucking win. You're on stage to collect your medal. You're not hoping that you get first or hoping that you get second. You're going there to win, okay? And you have to visualize that. When you visualize, you start to believe. And again, it's marries up with the hard days. When you start to believe, guess what you'll do on them hard days? You believe that you can win. You believe that you can get through it. You believe that you can go in there and win first place. If you don't visualize, that's absolutely fine. But on those hard days, it's harder because you can't imagine yourself winning. You've not thought about yourself winning. When you think about yourself winning, you think about yourself going collecting the overall sword or the pro card or the show win, whatever it might be, okay? If you visualize that over and over, I guarantee you, on those hard days, things will be a little bit easier. I'm not saying they're going to be easy because they're never easy, but they'll be a little bit easier because you've gone through it in your mind over and over and over about winning, okay? And you thought about winning, and then you know in your mind, you know, I can go and do this. I can go and break through them plateaus. I can go and pick up that first place trophy because you thought about it over and over and over, and you visualized it over and over and over. And there are some areas next which I call the 10%ers, okay? I don't call them the 1%ers because I don't think 1% is enough on... It isn't enough of an emphasis about how much difference these things make. And these things that I'm going to talk about is making sure that you are posing, making sure that you're sleeping right, making sure that you're resting right, making sure that you've got the right environment. These are all, for me, what I call 10%ers. I don't believe in 1%ers. I don't think anything makes a 1% difference. I think a lot of things make a lot more of a difference than people think, okay? So when I'm talking about posing, for example, this is completely in your control. Are you the best poser on stage? Because if you're not, that you've not done your job as an athlete. You've not done your job. When your coach should be able to give you feedback on your posing as well. So let's chuck that caveat in there as well. But if you're not the best poser on stage, that is absolutely within your control. You can make sure you go out there, even as a first timer, and have the most polished posing because you've worked on it for the last 12 months. The thing is, bodybuilding shows aren't just like, oh, I'm going to do that tomorrow. It's a phased process. You go through an off-season. You go through a prep. Even if you don't go through an off-season, you just go through a prep. You've known you've been doing this show for 16 weeks. 16 weeks is enough for you to be the best poser on stage. And that is 100% within your control, okay? And if you're not the best poser on stage, the eyes need to be on you and be asking, right, what didn't I do to help improve my posing? Like I said, there's a caveat to that. And when you are sending your check-ins, in my opinion, you should be sending check-in videos. Your coach should be giving you feedback on your posing, making sure that's on point. Again, goes back to choosing the right coach and making sure the coach actually understands the posing, the criteria, what they're looking for, and so on and so forth. But that's absolutely on you to make sure you are the best poser on stage and to make sure that you really put your effort in with your posing. The next one is about your rest and about your sleep and about your environment, okay? So I'm going to touch on rest and sleep to start with, okay? Because they do go hand in hand. Are you making sure that you are resting enough? And again, I've seen this many, many, many times over. If a coach gives you a rest day, take a fucking rest day. Don't think that you're a soldier and that you're Superman or Superwoman and can go in and train something light that day. Oh, I'm just doing, you know, an arm session for a guy, or I'm just doing a little bit of glutes for a girl. No, that is not what you do. If your coach gives you a rest day, like I said before, actually following and trusting the coach, follow that rest day, okay? I do think that everybody should have at least one rest day a week from cardio and training. So you're allowing your body one day a week to have no cardio and no training. Not one day without cardio and then a few days later, one day without training. One complete rest day. I think that should be a minimum for 99% of people, okay? To have that one day where you just do your steps, you follow your rest day diet, you allow those stress levels to drop down, you allow those fatigue levels to drop down, and then you go back into the gym, okay? That's just my opinion. I'm not saying that's wrong or right, but I really do think that people should have at least one complete rest day per week, even in the back end and depths of prep, okay? So, are you making sure that you are resting enough? If your coach is prescribing you rest, are you fully resting, or are you thinking, oh, I'll just do a light pump session that day, or I'll just do a little bit of this that day? No, if it's a rest day, then you absolutely fucking rest. You listen to your coach and you rest. Sleep, okay? Are you making sure that you are sleeping enough, okay? Good sleep will make you absolutely unbreakable, okay? I promise you that. If you can get a good night's sleep every single night during prep, your prep will be so fucking smooth. I can promise you that. That comes from a good routine in the off season. That comes through good sleeping habits. That comes through good sleep hygiene, making sure that you're turning off communication an hour before you go to bed, making sure you're dimming the lights, making sure your room is cool, making sure your room is dark, like all of these things, making sure you, like, and the most important thing to all of that is making sure you actually go to bed on time, making sure you go to bed on time and you wake up at a regular time. You're not smashing the snooze button seven times. You're waking up. If your alarm is 5 o'clock, then you wake up 5 o'clock every single day. That's going to create such a good routine for your body. If your bedtime is 9 o'clock every night, get to fucking bed at 9 o'clock. It doesn't matter that your mates are staying up to 11 o'clock. It doesn't matter that your partner's staying up to 10 o'clock. Get to bed at 9 o'clock if that's your bedtime, okay? And then really, really, really double down on that, okay? That makes a massive, massive difference. A coach can't hold your hand, take you to bed, wake you up in the morning, blah, 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 blah. That's not their job. That's your job as an athlete, okay? And that's why you really need to double down on these, what I call 10%ers. These are massive, massive parts of your prep, and it's going to make a massive, massive change. The next bit is environment, okay? Again, a coach can't tell you, right, go and train at this gym or be in a better environment. You will have to know as an athlete whether you're in a proper quality environment for bodybuilding and for success. In all honesty, if you're training at a fucking gym group or something like that, it ain't conducive to bodybuilding. We know the equipment's not absolutely right for bodybuilding. We know the environment is full of people, generally speaking, I know I'm stereotyping here, but pissing about, okay, and going there just for having a laugh. You need to find yourself a bodybuilding gym that you train at, okay? When I was bodybuilding, I drove past 6 gyms to get to the gym that I wanted to train at. I was lucky that I had an environment where that good gym was only 50 minutes away, just short of an hour. But I still spent 50 minutes driving each way. And that was still when I was working a full-time job, because I wanted to train at the environment that was right for me. I wanted to do cardio in the environment that was right for me. I wanted to make sure that I was in the right environment. Of course, you don't really need an environment for cardio, but you still want to try and put yourself in a positive mindset. Like, as I said, the shitty gyms won't have the right equipment, so let's write them off straight away. Then let's have a look at environment and making sure that we're training in the right environment, traveling to the gyms that we need to travel at. Again, if we can't do it every night, are you doing it on occasions when you can do it, on a weekend, on a Friday when you've not got to work on a Saturday, and so on and so forth? Are you actually going through and finding the right environment? And that also counts for not just gym environment, but the people that you spend your time with as well. Are you actually looking at who you spend your time with and saying, this person is conducive to success, this person allows me to bring out my best self? Or are you staying around people who are moaning about you doing bodybuilding and having a go at you for doing bodybuilding? You have to be around the right people, which again is a given, but you have to make sure that you are. You have to be absolutely committed to staying around the right people, speaking to the right people, having conversations with the right people, and not just people who will mug you off for having a meal when you go out. Not people who will mug you off because you say, you know what, it's 8 o'clock now, mate, I need to go to bed. Not those types of people. You have to be around people who are conducive to success and conducive to bodybuilding success as well, to be specific. Another thing that I think is really, really key, okay, is looking at the amount of feedback that you give to your coach, okay? Again, I see this all the time on people's tracker. Copy and pasting moods. Good, 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 good. Impossible, okay? No one's in a good mood every single day, okay? No one is in a good mood every single day. You can put yourself in a good mood, but you might wake up a bit tired, a bit stressed, having some challenges in life. I just see copy and paste all the time on trackers and it winds me up. And I do tell people, do not copy and paste your tracker. Your tracker, 99 times out of 100, unless you are in the same gym as your coach, is the only feedback that you're giving your coach. And to copy and paste that feedback is shooting yourself in the foot, because that coach doesn't actually know if you're good or if you're fucking stressed and everything's getting on top of you. If you're just copy and pasting, they don't know that. They're not mind readers. It's your job as an athlete to give them the absolute most detailed feedback that you can. And if your coach, I've heard this from a previous coach, okay? If your coach tells you, stop giving me all that feedback. I've heard a coach say to an athlete before, you're writing a fucking Harry Potter novel in your feedback. If your coach says that, fuck them off straight away as well. Bin them off, because they don't have your best interests at heart. If you're putting detailed quality feedback to your coach and they're telling you it's too much, pretty much stop talking shit, then you need to fuck that coach off and find somebody new, because that should never be the case. I would absolutely be asking my clients for more feedback. Tell me more. Tell me what's struggling. Tell me how I can help you. Do we need to write your daily routine out? Da 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 da. Do not have somebody tell you that you're giving too much feedback. But in the same breath, make sure that you fucking give enough feedback and you're not just copying and pasting what you're doing, what you're saying. You're actually giving that quality, detailed feedback to your coach via your tracker, via WhatsApp, whatever it might be, okay? Please, 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 as an athlete, do not copy and paste, okay? 90% of the athletes I do not see face-to-face, okay, in terms of week-to-week basis. So that tracker is the only indication of how you're doing, how you're feeling, the progress you're making, how gym sessions are going, and so on and so forth. And if you're copy and pasting that, you are shooting yourself in the foot massively, okay? And the final point here, okay, the final point is what I want to do is talk about the face-to-face check-in principle. A lot of my clients, and I'll encourage people to come down before the show for a face-to-face check-in at least once, okay? It's important to do that at least once. What you send over to your coach on a video is fantastic. It's really good. It's really fucking useful. But nothing beats a face-to-face check-in, okay? On Wednesday, I'm going all the way out to Manchester. Remember, I live south of London, okay? I'm going all the way out to Manchester to see an athlete before she goes, because I know how important looking at her face-to-face is. It gives her the reassurance that she's absolutely on the right track. Again, I can write that in her feedback. I can say, yep, you're looking great. But if I'm telling somebody that face-to-face, it makes such a difference, okay? It makes even more of a difference if I'm seeing them face-to-face and explaining to them, hey, listen, you look absolutely incredible. It gives them the reassurance that they're absolutely in the right place, and it shows them that I fucking care about what they look like. If I'm just saying, yeah, great, awesome, good stuff, you look really good, and doing that via a video, yes, okay, of course, like, some people, it's out of the question. I've got a fucking guy who's in China, okay, a guy who literally competes from China. I can't see him face to face, so I'm gonna have to do that over a video. But if you've got the chance to book in a face-to-face check-in with your coach, I absolutely encourage you to do that, okay? It's so, so important. Getting that face-to-face look is completely different to me just looking at you on a video, okay? And it's not just looking at you on a video. You get what I'm trying to say. You get the emphasis I'm trying to put on a face-to-face check-in, okay? It's absolutely critical that you do your face-to-face check-ins as and when you can, okay? At least once before the show, if not 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times before the show if you can, okay? So those are the points really that in my mind make a very, very good athlete, okay? Maybe you need to go back and re-listen to some of this. Maybe you need to share this with a friend. Do what you need to do, okay? But those are the points that make a good athlete, okay? And I'll recap them all. Working hard, actually following what the coach says, visualizing the 10% as you're posing, your resting, your sleep, your hydration, your mental toughness, all of those 10%ers, your gym environment as well, making sure not only your gym environment, but your overall environment is in a good place as well, making sure that that is absolutely as best as it can be. Booking those face-to-face check-ins with your coach and giving those detailed tracker feedbacks, okay? It's really, really important that you do all of those things as an athlete. Like I said, I hear many, many times, and I see many, many posts saying, this is what makes a good coach, this is why my coach is so great. Well, this is what makes a fucking great athlete, okay? barring the fact that, yes, of course, at the highest level, you're going to need a set of fucking good genetics. But you can get very, very far with those points that I've told you there today and have a very average set of genetics. Okay, so hopefully you found that useful. As always, please like, please share. Please share it with a friend that you might find or who might find this useful. But if you've got any questions or queries, as always, you can find me on Instagram at underscore team LRF. And if you need anything, as always, my DMs are open. Drop me a DM. Take care. Bye-bye.